Thank you again, Father, for your word and for all of the ways that you choose to reveal yourself to us. Help us to know you more and to know you better. Amen. For a lot of months now, we started in September of, was it 17 or 18? 18. With Ephesians, and we're all the way up to chapter 5 today, so we're making lots and lots of progress. But I'm going to still review chapter 4 a little bit. Today's text is chapter 5, verse 1. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. So when you have a therefore, you kind of have to look back and why is it there? Why would we follow God's example? And so looking back at this is putting off your old self to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self. That was verses 22 to 24, kind of a summary. Some of the things that we're supposed to put off, don't lie. You put on speaking the truth. Why would we do that? Well, because we're all members of one body. And that's how, if we have attitude change, mind change, if the spirit of our mind says, wow, I'm part of you and you're part of me, then I think I probably want to be truthful with you because I know I want to be truthful with me. So the lying hopefully will go away just automatically from that. In your anger, do not sin. So we're putting off anger. Settle things quickly. You're putting on a settlement of things. Don't give the devil a foothold, okay? Why would we want to quickly get over anger? It's because we don't want to let that just sit there and then build roots of bitterness. And if you've ever experienced that, I know I have, it does me more harm than the person I'm angry with. So it's kind of just even from a logical sense, get rid of that stuff. Put it off. Stop stealing. Start working. And why would we do that? So we can share, because again, we're all part of the same body. We're in this together. So if you've got something to share, God's blessed you, then great. You know, you've got the ability to share something. Let's do that. Unwholesome talk. It's another thing we need to put off. And what kind of talk should we put on? Because if you just put stuff off and you don't replace it with something good, you've created a vacuum, and we've talked about that, how a vacuum, something's going to come back into that. If I put off unwholesome talk, but I don't learn to do positive, edifying, helpful talk, that unwholesome talk's going to come back with a vengeance and probably worse than what I had before. So why would we do this? So that it can benefit those who listen. There's people around us that need us to bring them apples of gold in settings of silver, a word fitly spoken, the ability to just share something that's just the right thing at the right time. And if we can do that, we edify, we build up, and we don't tear down those around us. In verse 30, it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate. Be tender-hearted is what King James Version says to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Now, that's a high bar. It's one thing to say forgive each other, but then it's like do it like Christ did. It's like don't wait for them to be deserving of forgiveness. If we wait for that, you know, if somebody's waiting until I deserve forgiveness, they're not going to forgive me. But God says, I'm not waiting. I forgive you. And come on into the family. So again, the attitude changes. You're doing it just as in Christ God forgave you. We're putting off all of that list, bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander. We left it there for you instead of slander and every form of malice. You're putting on kindness, compassion, and forgiveness. And here's today's text in two versions. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. Therefore, kind of speaks back to all of these things about, okay, we've got an attitude change, we've got a mind change, we've got the ability to allow Holy Spirit to dwell in us so that we can benefit those around us. And because of that, we're supposed to follow God's example as dearly loved children. And that doesn't look like a lot. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, is the New American Standard Bible. That doesn't look like a whole lot in there. How am I going to spend the next 25 minutes on talking about just this right here? Well, what I want to talk about is if we're going to follow God's example, we need to know who God is. Where do we find that out? Any suggestions?
Within church.
Some within, yeah. I think all of us have been born into a world with a knowledge that there is a God. Now, if people don't think there's a God, and a lot of people have gotten to the point where they've rejected that God, but Romans 1 talks a lot about how it's obvious that there's a God, and if you're choosing to not believe that and you're pushing it away, eventually you can convince yourself and you can wake up as a fool every morning and say, there's no God, and I don't need anything like that. And, you know, and some people, they try to make the Christians look like the fool because we're believing in something we can't see, except we still have this inner knowledge. There is truly a knowledge of God in each individual. And so some people will say, well, no, I believe in science. Well, I think science is great. But do you know who most of the scientists were when science was budding and blooming and things were blossoming? It was mostly Christians. A lot of pastors were also scientists. And they were the ones they were observing in the world. In true sciences, you're doing a lot of observation. And you're looking at reality and you're seeking truth. It's like, if this happens, then what would, you know, where does this, and so when you have an inquisitive mind, that's another way to say a scientific mind, you're going to be looking at things and you're going to do it often enough that eventually you're picking up on patterns. So how do we know so much about COVID-19 or any type of coronavirus? You know, the people are searching and they get these microscopes and they can look at teeny, teeny, tiny little things. You know, bacteria is so small that you can't see it with your eyes. But you could see it with a microscope. How many of you have ever had the privilege and the joy of looking into a microscope and seeing some little bacteria? Now, bacteria are kind of weird because those are living cells that can reproduce and they can be doing all kinds of stuff. And they can keep on reproducing and growing. And so, you know, some of it's good, some of it's bad. On your hands, you probably have maybe 100, 150 different types of bacteria on your hands right now. Some of them are good. Some of them not so good. Why do we wash our hands a lot? Then you start thinking about viruses. They're even smaller. They're much smaller than bacteria. And they can't reproduce on their own. They have to find a host cell. So that they can get into, and so they can find a host cell in you or in a bacteria or somewhere else, and then they can start pushing their DNA or RNA so that they're continually reproducing, and there's all this stuff happening. Well, how do scientists learn all this stuff? They had to seek. Scripture has a verse that says, seek and you will find. Okay. Now, there's nothing wrong with seeking knowledge. You're going to find it. We have gifted doctors, gifted geologists. There's all kinds of scientific use where people can search the world over and they can find what they need to find to continue in the discipline that they've chosen to dedicate a lot of their life to. But if you do that without God, if you're doing it and saying, okay, science is God now, and you have to try to keep explaining away God and trying to make science fit so that, you know, okay, now there was this, yeah, we have a beginning, but we don't know where it came from. Well, here, if we get to know God, it's interesting that when, you know, one place is internally, but another place we can get to know and learn God is through nature. We've just talked a little bit about that, looking microscopically. You can look macroscopically too, get a telescope and look out at the skies. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. If we're looking big or we're looking small, you're going to see something that has order and it has a purpose. And for me, as a believer in God, it's like, yeah, well, it's obvious that there was a creator. Okay. Some people, if you're looking at it and if you already determine in your mind that there is no God, you haven't done that shift that we need to make. The therefore here is like, because we know that there's a God and we can make that shift to understand everything around us, whether it's our behavior or our reaction to others or whatever it is, our speech, our actions, they're based on our understanding of we're part of God's family. If you don't believe you're part of God's family, or if you're not part of God's family, if you don't believe that there's a God, You have to try to explain this universe without understanding that there was a maker that designed all these things. I think intelligent design makes perfect sense to me, but some people, when they hear that term, they get angry. Just the actual term. If you talk to some people and say intelligent design, no, that couldn't be. And they go off, and it's like, no, there has to be, it's just chance. And you can come up with all kinds of different ways to explain, okay, well, if you got a watch, now the older watches were better because they had a lot of moving parts and little things inside them and stuff. And it's like, if I just had all these parts and somehow just threw them on a table, would they eventually make themselves into a watch? Well, obviously not. There was a designer. Somebody had to determine which parts made what happen and how to put them together and how to make them work and to keep time properly. If you've had the privilege of being in our house, we've got a couple paintings from a local artist. She lives across the street, and one of them is, she's kind of titled it Nearly Home or Almost Home, and it's that tunnel when you're coming up the highway, and it's like, we've got one of those original paintings. Well, when I look at that, I don't think, well, that's nice that all that paint found its way onto the canvas, and look at that. It just put itself in the right place so that there's a beautiful image here. It's like, no. Somebody thought that through, designed it, spent hours and hours and hours making that work. The other one is from a hike that we took together. And she took a photograph, and then, you know, Rich is in that, and I'm in it. And there's this painting of mountains and a rock and trees. And it's like, that didn't just happen. But just like the painting didn't just happen, the actual setting where the pictures were taken to make that painting from, that didn't just happen either. The tunnel wouldn't be there without a tunnel designer. The trees and the rocks and the sky wouldn't be there without a designer. It all has design and purpose. And so as we get to know God and we recognize, okay, in my mind, I recognize there is a God, that's the place to start. And if we want to please God, we first have to recognize that He exists and that He wants to reward those who earnestly seek Him. So let's continue to earnestly seek Him. I can seek Him through the inner light. I can seek Him through nature, like Psalm 19 talks about. I can also seek Him through Scripture. God has not tried to hide Himself from us. He's revealed Himself to us through Scripture. And I'm not going to tell you I understand every single part of Scripture. But I know that as I seek, I get to know God better. Do you know that in some sense, God is unknowable? And that's kind of a weird thing because I'm just telling you, you need to know Him. And yet we can't fully know or understand Him. He's incomprehensible in that sense to fully comprehend the love of God, to fully comprehend the grace of God, to fully comprehend the kindness of God, all of His different attributes. And so we can get to know God pretty well. We're not going to fully know Him till eternity, at least, if then. It's like, how many of you know somebody, but you don't really know them? You can know a lot of facts about somebody and not know them at all. You might know facts about the president we have now, or George Washington, or anybody else, and yet just knowing facts about somebody doesn't mean that you know them. If you get to spend time with them, you might get to know them a little bit. We can spend time with God. Do you know that He wants to, we sang He wants to intercede for us and dance over us. He wants to be with us. He wants to spend time in our presence. Why? It's not because He needs me. He's complete. God doesn't need humans. God doesn't need any of this. And yet He chose to make us. And He chose to have relationship with us. And so He says, as dearly loved children, we're to follow God's example. There's something interesting. Children actually do learn from their parents, whether they'll admit it or not. Mm-hmm. And they imitate their parents, whether they will admit it or not. There was a conference way, way back, basic youth conference that, do you remember the gentleman's name that did that? Anyway, and you know, down in Tacoma, well, that was even before the Tacoma Dome was built, wasn't it? It was in the King Dome. We went up to this conference, and it was full, you know. And he was teaching us about relationships with parents and things. And he was trying to, one of the things that kind of caught my eye was, he's saying, okay, you know, if you really, really dislike your parents, if you think they're doing everything wrong and you just focus on your parents about all the terrible things they've done, you're going to end up being just like them. We imitate parents whether we want to or not. If you think your parents are doing a great job, you're going to imitate them with that. So it's like we actually, by being a dearly loved child, we're going to get something from our parents. Now, when you see little babies, how often do you hear somebody say, well, he's got his mother's eyes or that's his father's nose or whatever. And they try to look and they see a little bit of mom and dad in those kids. Now, what's interesting is as the children grow up, you know, it's still an individual. Totally different than mom, different than dad. But yeah, there's a lot of things there that are similar. And then when you're looking at families and the behavioral traits that they have, even how they walk or speak, a lot of imitation going on. If you live in Boston, your accent's going to be a little bit different than if you live in New Jersey. Now, nobody in Washington State has an accent, so I couldn't pick that as a possibility. But it's, you know, we look at individuals, and sometimes you can hear their parents as they're speaking. It's like, that sounds just like mom or dad or whatever. You know, when we got to go on the cruise with my brother and sister-in-law, And Andy was saying things like, you know, when you just turned around just now, I saw Dad. You know, and it's kind of one of those things that it's the characteristics that whether we're intentionally doing it or not, if we're spending time, if we're related, if we're connected, we're going to start imitating. Husbands and wives start looking more and more like each other, even pets. I don't know how many times you've seen different pictures of pets and stuff. The human and the pet oftentimes start having similar characteristics and looking just about the same. So pick your pets well. But knowing God, and how can we know God? We can look in Scripture, and there's so many different stories about Him. There's lots of description. If you go into the Psalms, you can see the relationship that David had with God. But if you don't know who God is or you don't know anything about Him, how are you going to imitate Him? Now, John, do you imitate your parents ever?
Probably.
Yeah. You're calm and relaxed and you pick that up somewhere.
I think so.
Yeah. It doesn't mean we're going to be exactly like mom and dad, but there's this understanding that as we spend time in Scripture, we spend time in the Word, we're going to get to know God better. Do you know, part of that is because Holy Spirit has promised, like Nick told us about, that He dwells within us as a body of Christ. If He's dwelling within us, and we start looking at His letters, His words, His message to us. Holy Spirit inspired Scripture, with Holy Spirit dwelling in us, as we read this, do you think that we're going to get a pretty good connection? It's like, yeah, that's me. One of the things that Kathy talks about often when she says she loves history, she was just mentioning this last night, is she doesn't love history because history is so fun. She loves it because she learned a lot of history from going on family vacations with her dad. And Louis would take them to Gettysburg and walk the battlefields and make it come alive and explain, you know, this is what was going on here and this is what was happening. And he would take them to Washington, D.C., and he'd take them all around the country. They went to most of the states. When they got to a state, they'd find the state capitol and take a tour of the Capitol building. And they would go to museums and they would do things that were learning. And part of that was because it was free and affordable. But, you know, it's also because he just enjoyed it. And you learned a lot, and so then you passed that joy of history and learning on to our daughter. And so when our daughter Toni goes different places, she's learning history and enjoying it and sharing it with those around her, and you pick up experiences. If you've been on a hike and the other people on the hike with you have never been on that hike, you're going to share a little bit maybe. Or you're just going to enjoy watching them discover. That's one way to share things, is just through observation. follow God's example. We cannot follow God's example or be imitators of God if we don't know God. We can't follow God's example or imitate God if we don't understand God, if we're not with God, if we're not spending time seeking after God. Seek and you will find. Just like if you've decided that your car is not working and you have to search out, okay, how am I going to find out what's wrong with this car? You pull the spark plug out and it's fouled with oil. There's a clue, right? It's like, okay, any of you guys out here that work on cars, what's the clue if you pull a spark plug out and it's fouled with oil?
Too much oil.
Too much oil? What? How's it getting there? I mean, possibly the rings. Something's, you know, not quite right.
Running too rich.
Something's happening. And so there's a few possibilities, and then there's some solutions. And, you know, when you try to work it, it's the same thing when you go to the doctor and they look at all your symptoms. They're being investigators. It's like, okay, what's this and what's this and how can... And sometimes the doctors are just going to try to find ways to hide and mask those symptoms. But a good doctor is going to try to dig deeper. And obviously they want to try to alleviate pain so that you don't have to go through whatever you're going through in pain. But if they can help you find the cause and overcome that cause, if you can find the cause of the broken down car or the cause of the broken down human body and find a way to fix that, and if it can't be fixed, there's sometimes where you just say, okay, we're going to have to live with it this way. And here's some modifications that could help you live with it longer. Whether it's a car that you're trying to get till you can afford to replace it, or a body that you're going to try to get to the end of life so that when you get your new body and you get to have a brand new perfect body. In the meantime, you want to be able to continue life with what you have. And following God's example, how does God handle it? But let's put God in today's society right now. Can anybody remember stories of when and for me, okay, when I say I want to follow God's example, we know God's invisible, so it's really hard to see Him. We can learn a lot about Him through Scripture. But even more so, because Jesus Christ came and chose to dwell among us, and He came here as fully God and fully man. So we've got the example of the life of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ saw people with diseases, He was moved with compassion. Talked a lot about compassion and whatnot last week. He was moved with compassion, but then He would do something. He'd heal them. He would go to them. There was kind of a disease that was probably a lot worse than this COVID thing that was called leprosy. It's still leprosy in the world, but it's not quite the same as it was back when there was no treatment, no cure, no... It's like, okay, if you had that skin problem, you got put out of the society, out of community. It wasn't, you know, go and self-quarantine in your house. It was, no, you're not part of us anymore. Go away. And then they would end up with colonies of lepers. And these people would have to find, as their bodies are falling apart and skin's actually falling off of them, whatever, they're finding ways to care for one another because nobody else could possibly be near them. And Jesus would see these people as He's walking around, and they'd be calling out from a distance because they knew they couldn't come close to Him. It's like, you know, we're supposed to do our social distancing. They understood that. There was a real reason for them to socially distance, even from their family. They didn't want to spread this disease and make other people sick. It was very contagious. And what did Jesus do? How many times do we read stories where he saw these guys and He would go to them? He was God, okay? I mean, it's like, okay, we have to be careful. I'm not telling anybody you have to go to people that have COVID-19 and work with them. What I'm saying, let's not be frightened and realize that ultimately God's in control. Whether we catch the disease or not, we can do everything we want to do and try to protect ourselves and still get it. Or we can just be out living and serving and doing our best to not share disease with others and to be careful not to spread contagion, but still to love the people that are inflicted and demonstrate love in whatever way possible we have to demonstrate it. If you think of Mother Teresa, she went to
Calcutta, India, and she worked with the people in the streets. What's that?
The poor and the sick.
The poor and the sick, yeah. And she didn't differentiate between, oh, this is a contagious disease, I think I'm going to ignore them. She would go to all of them. She lived to be pretty old. There's other people that have gone to be missionaries in different places and died quite young. There's examples of that. If we recognize, if our the attitude, the spirit of our mind is changed to the point where we understand that God's in control and I'm not. It doesn't mean we go out with reckless abandon. He's given us a mind. We're to use that. We're to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. We're supposed to be careful, but we're also supposed to be caring. And in order to do that, we have to know God well enough. It's like, Lord, what are you telling me to do today? What are you asking me to do in this circumstance? And I know I'm one of your children, and I know you're fixing a room for me in your house. And if I pass from this earth, that's not the end for me. Because I've got this renewed mind, and I recognize that, yeah, okay, I get to be with Jesus forever. That's not a bad thing. It's like the people on the cruise line. It's like, okay, we don't get to stop here. We have to stay and be served every single day, 3 or 4 meals a day, and enjoy all the company of these people we've gotten to know over the last few months. And so you're on a world cruise, and it doesn't have an end. Oh, well, as long as you can keep getting supplies and everybody stays healthy. There's ways to take the circumstances you have and make them better. And so whatever circumstance we're in, we can't just stop life. We've got to be following and imitating God. And next week we'll talk about the next verses. You notice there's not even a period at the end of the sentence here. It kind of goes on to one of the ways we're going to imitate God is through love. We'll talk a lot about that next week.